Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our sixth and I think our final session in Ever Faithful. It's been a great study for me, and I trust it has for you. Today, we're going to really be focused on ourselves. And we've looked at the Lord being faithful, but I think today we're just going to just zero in and look at how others were faithful to Him and how we can do that too. And that encourages me because as I go through this study, I've just seen more and more how important it is to our Lord Jesus that we be faithful in the things that He calls us to. So let's just jump in here with a review. Last week we looked at to be faithful. And we noted that this is something we all, I think, know that we need to do. But again, I've just seen an increased importance in it. So Hebrews 11:11, where we've been anchored, by faith even Sarah herself, meaning what? Everyone has to do it. We can't depend on what my mama does or what my wife does, but we've got to take it for ourselves and own it. By faith even Sarah herself considered, received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since or because she considered him faithful or judged him faithful, who had promised. We saw that the Lord is ever present. And that's really something we looked at with some scriptures that we're going to go back over today, but only a little differently. He's always there for us, and we can what? Always count on Him. Psalm 37, verse 3, again, dealing with us, says we're to trust in the Lord and do good. Do His word, in other words. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And I think that's saying two things, that we need to cultivate an understanding and a revelation of how faithful He is to us. But as we're focused on last week and now again this week, us being faithful to Him. We looked last week at Matthew 25, but I want to note, for you to note as we review this today, this is of the three servants who were given different talents. This comes right after the parable of the 10 virgins, where 5 were ready and 5 were not. And so it's talking about the coming of the Master. And it's not a different theme, really, from the 10 virgins and being ready. That's part of faithfulness. So anyway, three servants, they had a different number of talents, and I stress this word, entrusted to them, given to them because the Master believed they were capable of handling and working with what He had given to them. And 2 used their ability and doubled what they had. And did what? Brought increase, therefore, back to the Master, not themselves. But 1 did not. He went and buried it. In other words, he didn't use the ability that the Master had seen in him to produce an increase of any count. And then we saw in a couple of verses, 20 and 21, where the 2 that increased, where he had entrusted them with the talents, both heard, well done, good and faithful servant. In other words, faithful, meaning stable, firm, that the Master could count on him. But we asked the question, and I think it's worth noting again today, what was the key for the Master to reward them with more responsibility? Was it because they had more ability? Was it because 1 made 2 more and another 5 more? No, it wasn't for any of those reasons. It was because he saw them faithful with what they had been given or had entrusted to them. And he said that if you can be entrusted with a few things, then you qualify yourself for more. But how about the one who buried his talent? Because we need to understand why. He said, I was afraid. And we examined what was he afraid of? Disappointing the Master? Not valuing the talent he'd been given? Thinking it wasn't very important, maybe? Or even thinking, he really doesn't think much of me. I'm not as good as the others. But I think what happened was, he did not esteem his Master's words. His actions. He didn't value, therefore, what he had been given. Now, we made this comment that faithfulness is not about the number of gifts that you've been given, nor about comparing yourselves to others, but simply valuing who you are in Christ Jesus today and in what He's asking you to do, and so that you use all the abilities and all the opportunities that He gives us. We looked at a second scripture, set of scriptures in Luke 16, which talked about several things. We must be faithful in little. We have to esteem what He's provided in order to be entrusted with much. And if we can't be faithful with these earthly things, and you're going to see that come about today, then we need not expect the big spiritual gifts, true gifts, I would say. Complete Jewish says, if you haven't been trustworthy with what belongs to someone else, who will give you, and this is a tough phrase, what ought to belong to you? So there's this expectation on the part of the Lord that we're going to be trustworthy and use what He's given us. This is how increase comes. And we saw in Proverbs 28, verse 20, that a faithful man will abound in blessings. Now, abounding in blessings from being faithful is not about positioning ourselves just to get more or just to get more stuff. It's what? It's about being blessed so that in turn we can be blessing others. In other words, we're promoting the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And so today we really want to focus on us being faithful to the Lord so that we can hear what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we're going to see today a little bit more about how we qualify things that we need to do by looking at what others have done so that we can hear this and increase as the Lord desires for us. So let's go all the way back to Genesis, the 37th chapter. And I want us to look at Joseph. Now, I'm going to teach this today maybe in a way that's a little different than you've ever studied it, because as I got into it, I got some revelations in some things, and I'm going to share those with you. So let's start out by looking at the second verse, because I want you to see some things that happened prematurely or previously to Joseph getting to Egypt. Second verse says, these are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. And then it says who was there. And it talks about Joseph bringing back a bad report about him. But the part I want us to focus on here is that he was 17 years old. And that's Genesis 37 verse 2 that starts out this way, when this whole sequence of events that we're going to be talking about began. Now, he had two dreams. I think he made a mistake in telling them to his brothers. Every time we hear something, we don't need to just go run and tell it. But he did, and it really made him mad. But I want you to look at verse 11. Now, this is when he's just told the second dream to his brothers and his father. And talking, it talks about them. It says in verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him. But here's the part I really want you to see. But his father kept the saying in mind. Now, if you look at this closely, you'll see that in mind is in italics, which means it's not in the original language. So really what it's saying is the father kept the sayings. He pondered them. He didn't let loose of them. And I'm going to submit to you that in what we're about to see, Joseph did the same. And that is very important, because what do we know? We must see the Lord as being faithful to His words or His instructions to us. Skip down to verse 28. Here come the Midianite traders, and they passed by, so they had put Joseph in a pit. So they pulled him up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, the reason I want you to see that is that how he's getting to Egypt and what the environment is going to be with him. Now, when a slave was sold on the market, they would be stripped down so that they could tell how muscular they were. and what they were going to be able to do physically. And so that's the state, that lowest state that Joseph was in. So the question still arises in my mind, was he faithful to the word he heard? How could he be? He looked around and he couldn't see that any part of it was being, in fact, it was going the other direction. It wasn't being fulfilled. And so verse 36 then, in this same chapter, the last verse of 37, it says, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar. Now, notice who Potiphar is. He's a Pharaoh's officer, the captain of his bodyguard. So he's in tight with Pharaoh. The Lord just, because I believe Joseph was faithful to that word, the Lord worked on his behalf and put him in a position where things could happen with this man. So go down to the next, to chapter 39, and we're going to read the first six verses, and then we will talk about them. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, Jehovah Shammah, part of what we studied earlier. We read this actual verse. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master, and that's unusual for a new slave now. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord had caused all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became the personal servant. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. Verse 5, and it came about from the time he made him overseer in his house over all he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. In verse 6, so he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge with him. There he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now that last statement is why the temptation with Potiphar's wife came along. But let's back up. I want to look at these verses 1 through 6 and ask this question. Why was the Lord with Joseph? Why was the Lord blessing with Joseph? And there are two things that I think we can learn from this. What was said about his father, that he kept the saying? I'm also convinced that Joseph also kept the saying. He pondered it in his heart. He didn't whine. He didn't carry on. Why is this all happening to me? He focused simply on what the Lord had said, and somehow, some way, Lord, you're going to bring it about. Now, that's really impressive to me. As a 17-year-old, he's doing this. So he was doing what? Being faithful to God's word. The second point I want to make is, what have we seen previously about being faithful? That you need to be faithful to your master's instructions. Do it just like he says. You've got to be faithful with what belongs to another. And if you're faithful with little, it can lead to opportunity with your master. And isn't that exactly what happened with Joseph? Now, this went from Joseph being just a servant who was brought in the house to being in charge of everything he had. Now, look at the progression, though, and that's what I want you to see. He was just one of the household servants. He was faithful in what he did. He became then his personal servant. He was faithful in how he served him. He then was made overseer that was in Potiphar's house. Again, from what? Faithfulness. And Potiphar didn't even worry about what was going on. He just let Joseph handle it. So we see the fruit of being faithful as evidenced in the progression. And then you say, well, I thought it was because the Lord was with him. It was. But the Lord being with him is a sign of that faithfulness that Joseph had to him. I'm reminded when I say that about when we draw near to the Lord, what does he do to us? Draw near. So that says to me, when we are faithful with the Lord, we give him an opportunity to demonstrate his faithfulness to us even more. Now let's go and look at verse 9 in this chapter. Joseph has had Potiphar's wife try to seduce him, I would just simply say. And as part of his defense, I want you to look at what he says, because I believe this affirms what I have been saying. He's in the middle of this discourse and he says, "There is no one greater than in this house than I." And he, talking about her husband, his master, "has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Where was his first look at being faithful? Toward the Father. And as a result, when he was faithful toward the Father and not wanting to commit this sin, he could also be faithful to Potiphar. I think that's so important. He remained faithful to God even in this temptation. Look down at verse 20. Now, you know the wife brought the charges up. It made Potiphar mad. He probably didn't even take time to explore it. But in verse 20, it says, "Potiphar, Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him in the jail." Now, let that sink in. From being an overseer in his house, he's in jail. Verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and did what? Extended his kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer then committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were there in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it." And you'll see a similar thing. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. Now, note verse 21. Again, we ask the question, why was the Lord with him? Why would the Lord cause him to have favor and kindness extended to him from the Lord toward the jailer and then from the jailer, the kindness? And I'm convinced again that Joseph remained faithful to first the Lord. Then he was given an opportunity to be faithful to the jailer. Now, appreciate this. Just because he was given responsibility, he doesn't come out of the jail. You're going to see that. I don't believe he sulked and went around asking, why is this happening to me? Why did you allow this, God? You know, it would be a common thing that we would hear today. Maybe even, why did you do this to me? Are you testing me in some way? No, he simply remained steadfastly faithful to the Lord. And what was the result? A promotion and another promotion, to the point that Joseph took care of all the jail and the jailer just relaxed, all while he's in the jail. Now jump over to Genesis 41. Now, this is after the baker and the chief cupbearer had dreams. Joseph had interpreted them. We don't have time to go all through this because I want to look at some New Testament examples. And I want us to start in verse 46, and we're just going to read the first part of it. It says, "Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh." Okay, so what do we know? Around 12 to 13 years, he's been in Egypt. We don't know how long he was in Potiphar's house. We don't know how long he was in jail. But that's where he was for 13 long years. Enough time to be tempted in a big way. Talk about being faithful now. That's just incredible, I think. To have this vision of what the Lord says he's going to do for you, see no way of it coming about, and yet stay faithful to it. Now, being faithful, and I mentioned whining and complaining, because that's what we do. I'll say it's what I have found myself doing sometimes to the Lord in prayer when things don't happen. But being faithful is not, you're not being faithful when you're whining and complaining. And that's something that the Lord is teaching me. Faithful means I can trust you no matter what happens. Now, I want you to go back up in this same chapter to verse 14. And I want to do this because I want you to notice Joseph's condition. This is when Pharaoh hears about Joseph and he calls him. And look at 14. Pharaoh sent and called for him, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. See where he still is? Not great conditions. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes. So I don't want you to have the opinion that Joseph was living a life of luxury. He wasn't. He was in the jail and looked just like everybody else in the jail was. He was still there because of what Potiphar charged against him. And again, that just reinforces to me the fact that he was still a prisoner in Egypt, and yet he remained faithful and had this great attitude. Now, after interpreting the dream for the king, go down to verse 39, and we're going to read through 43. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house." Now, the thing I want you to see here is, do you see how promotions, as he's been faithful, are coming quickly now? Now, this is a big one, and he doesn't have to prove himself. He did with one act, and he says to him, "You shall be over my house. According to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." My goodness. He continues on and says, "Then Pharaoh took, see, I have set you over all the land." Wow. "Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen." Oh my, I like that. He has seen the fruit of his faithfulness with honor. "And they put the gold necklace around his neck, and they let him ride in the second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, 'Bow the knee,'" in other words, do homage to him. "And he set him over all the land of Egypt." He was faithful over very little in Potiphar's house, faithful over even less in the jail, and now he's faithful in a day over all of Egypt. Because he was faithful, he's over all of Egypt. Now, I want you to look down at 50, because I want you to see, even though Joseph has been successful, the famine has come, he's stored up grain, he's making Egypt rich, he's feeding people in Egypt and outside of Egypt. But I want you to see his heart and his faithfulness. "Now, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him." And I want listen to these two verses. "Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said," and this is what Manasseh means, "God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." In other words, everything that has happened to him in Egypt and back at his father's house when he was part of that household. The Lord, because he's been faithful to him, has helped him put this behind him. In other words, he's not fretting about it and fussing about it all the time. Now, the second one, so he's caused him to see that he's moved on, so he's not dwelling in the past. And the second one, he named Ephraim, for he said, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." So he's taken what was meant for evil and done what? Turned it around for good because of his faithfulness there with them. That just blesses me. Where had his focus remained during these 13 years? On the Lord and on the word that he had given to him. Saints, this is a remarkable account of being faithful. I have not seen it as clearly as I do today. And often when we read about Joseph, we just focus on what happened to him and that the Lord was with him. But now we get some insight. Draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. Be faithful to him, and you just open up more doors for him to give you more blessings to be even more faithful to him with. Now, I want us to see this in the book of Acts. And I want us to look first in chapter 6 with Stephen. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. The book of Acts, chapter 6. Now, I'm going to have to move a little quickly to get through with this because I feel like we're supposed to finish this today. But in chapter 6, now it comes at a time when the disciples were increasing in number. In other words, the church was growing. And a complaint rose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews about the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the serving of daily serving of food. And the 12, the disciples, summoned the congregation of the disciples. And they said, "It is not good for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Lord." And this statement found approval with the whole congregation. That's a miracle in and of itself. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, and it goes on and names the 7. And I would submit to you they were all full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom because that's what they said they wanted to pick. Men with good reputation. And they brought these before the apostles and they laid their hands on them and the word of God kept on spreading. So the increase in the church continued and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Wow. Now, how could this have been viewed? These 7 guys could have said, "What do you mean? You're more important so that you don't want to go do any work. You just want to sit and read and pray." But no, they remained faithful to God and also faithful to these men. You know, again, they'd been asked to go set up a Meals to Go or a Meals on Wheels kind of ministry. It would have been so easy for them to say, "They just don't think we're as good as they are. They don't think we can hear from the Spirit as good as they hear from the Spirit." But they respected positions. They were faithful to what had been given to another by God. And in doing so, were rewarded for it as they were showing faithfulness to God as well. Now look at verse 8. And I want to read 8 and I'll read you the Amplified for it and then 9 and 10 and we'll talk about it. "And Stephen, full of grace and power." Now it didn't mention power earlier. It didn't even say full of grace. It was just full of faith and Holy Spirit. "Was performing great wonders and signs amongst the people." Amplified says, Stephen, full of grace, and it says that grace is divine blessing and favor. So back up and let's remember what we saw in the Old Testament. What did it say about a faithful man? That he would receive blessing. And so it says, full of grace, divine blessing and favor, and power, strength, and ability. What did Sarah receive when she judged God to be faithful who had spoken that promise to her? Strength to conceive. I just remind you of that. Now look at 9 and 10. "But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the Spirit with which he was speaking." So I want to ask this question. What had to happen for Stephen to get the more? And by the more, I mean the power, the miracles, the revelation and the ability to convey that revelation of the word that we just saw in verse 10. And remember, he started with feeding the poor and the widows. Well, he was faithful in what he was asked to do. He was faithful with what might have seemed like something menial or not as important. And I'm sure that they were tempted to ask, well, why aren't some others doing this? Why aren't the families taking care of them? Why aren't their children taking care of them? But we know what? The faithful don't complain. How about faithful in doing another's ministry as if it were own? It was part of the work of the church that the apostles had been placed in charge of. But he viewed it as something valuable to the Lord and was faithful to him. And so I would bet that there's not a day when they came back and laid hands and said, we're going to give you this power now. The Lord did that as he served. And that encourages me to say, that's what he wants to do with us today. While he was doing the Meals on Wheels or carts or whatever it was, that's when he increased with power, with miracles, and great revelation in the Word and being able to convey that to others. Now, don't forget what happened to Stephen even in his death, because you're going to see him being faithful in that. In Acts 7, all the way down in 54. They had gotten mad at Stephen. He had been honest with them and told them what the Word said, told them what he heard from the Lord to say with that revelation. And when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and began gnashing their teeth, being full of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that there's a correlation of walking in the fullness of the Spirit and being faithful? I'll just leave that out for you to ponder. He gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, not seated. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And that just made it worse. They cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed upon him with one impulse. And they, when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. Then it talks about laying their robes at the feet of Paul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, whom he was seeing, receive my spirit. And here's the part that I want you to see. He was faithful to the Lord to the end. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, it says that he fell asleep. The word there literally means he expired. So what was he? Faithful to the very end of being on this earth. And what a reward he received. What a reward he received. Seeing Jesus stand and welcome him into heaven. Maybe the first, probably it is the first recorded martyr in Scripture. Now, we see this again with Philip. And I'm not going to go through the details, but you see it more with Philip. As he also, in Acts 8, and if you've got our notes, you can see it if you want to write this down. In Acts 8, 3 through 8, it talks about how, verse 6, that Philip was doing great signs that he was performing, and unclean spirits were coming out and shouting, and there were many who had been paralyzed and lame that were healed, and there was much rejoicing in the city. So he was faithful, and these things happened to him as well. We don't have record of them happening to everyone. I don't know how we can't make assumptions that the others weren't faithful or that they were in the same things. We just don't know. But with Philip, this one verse in 38, in chapter 8, around verse 38, he wants the eunuch that he's with there in the chariot, wants to be baptized. And so they stop in 38, they get in the water and baptize him. And look at 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the guy saw that he was with him no more. What a miracle to be snatched away from the Lord. Now, he'd gone from ministering to big crowds down to one. But he didn't see that as a problem. He was blessed with it. He was faithful with it. And he received. And saints, this is how increase comes to us today. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, let a man so consider us, talking, Paul is saying, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So they're servants of Christ and stewards of God. And then Paul turns right around and says, that's how he's considering himself. Moreover, it is required that stewards, that one be found faithful. So Paul is setting this up, I believe, as a premier thing. Jesus, and this is when he's talking to his disciples in Luke 12 about being ready, looking for the master's return. Peter asked him in 41, "Do you saying this to us?" And the Lord said in 42, "Who then is this faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." When he finds so doing, what is he saying? Blessed is the steward who is faithful to the word that the master has given him. Now you may be saying, well, how do we get this? Well, this is one of these things we already have. Galatians 5, 22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against this thing, there is no law. Faithfulness dwells in us as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That is fruit of His Spirit that's already there for us to draw upon it, draw it out as we live in the Spirit. Let me read you some verses in this same chapter in the New Living Translation. Verse 22 starts out and says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life." And it mentions them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law. 24, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions of the desire and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit," verse 25, "let us follow Spirit's leading in every part of our life." Faithfulness. Faithfulness. This is who we are in truth. There is no way that a believer can say, "That's something I just can't do." Faithfulness is in us. It is who we are. Being a good steward, being a good servant, taking care of that which belongs to another, that's Jesus for us. And that is so, so important. Quickly, three verses in Colossians in chapter 1 and 4. It says, "As you learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." Now, I want you to notice, I don't know what all Epaphras did, but I'll bet you if he hung around with Paul, he was also laying hands on people and people were getting healed. But that's not what he talks about, is it? He talks about him being faithful. The same is true in Colossians 4:7 about Tychicus, a beloved brother and a what? Faithful minister and fellow servant. In verse 9 of chapter 4, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. And then he says, "Who is one of you?" He's one of us. So is the Lord able to say those things about you and I? We worry so much about, can we do this and can we do that? And the Lord's looking and saying, just be faithful to me. All those things are going to get produced. Psalm 37, verse 3. "Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful." Last verse, and I want to go back to the first verse. By faith, Sarah herself, this is Hebrews 11:11 again that we read starting today and starting 6 weeks ago. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she had judged him faithful who had promised." Sarah became faithful as she judged God, the word of God, faithful, thus judging also God to be faithful. He's faithful to His word. And what the Lord dropped in my heart is that we just need to try to quit being faithful with our flesh. We judge Jesus faithful. And as we do that, we let the Holy Spirit produce in our flesh that faithfulness as it comes alive in us. That's who we are. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. My prayer is that this study will put you in a position to move you forward to an increase, and you will have the assurance that this is what our Lord Jesus will tell you. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for giving time and attention to the Word of God with us. It's truly an honor to be able to share these things with you. We love you, and we'll see you again in some future studies here very shortly.